We are live here from the Freedom Train Network. This is our live stream for Mental Health Awareness Month. I am Joseph Ward. But let me do my intro like we always do it. So thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. Like I say, I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and rocking with me is my man, Patrick Urban. Say what's up to the people, Pat, so they can see you.
What up?
Yeah, y'all get to see what our mugs look like. Hey, man, thank y'all for rocking with us. Everybody who has been supporting Freedom Train since day one, since we started on our phones. And now, you know, we've upgraded and we've made significant strides. So thank you, everybody who's been riding with us. As you know, we're sponsored by PAX, Inc. And PAX, Inc. is the Black advocacy organization aimed at developing the Black community through its maximum potential through a focus on economics and education with the trace of hard work and honesty. So make sure you go to the website www.pactsinc.org, learn more about PAX, Inc. And while you're on the website, click on the tab that says the codes so you can learn more about the codes of conduct. We're really doing our best to push the codes of conduct so Black America can work together as a cohesive unit once again. Website, make sure you share this. Please share this. We want everybody to join this discussion. So you can go to our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, and you can join this discussion. You can see this live stream as we're doing this. And also you can learn more about myself, learn more about Patrick, Jamie. Jamie's actually out in Texas and he got bad weather. So he can't make the show today, but shout out to Jamie. And our heart goes out to everybody in Texas and around the world who are experiencing tragedies at these present times. Our weather not that bad here, but it ain't about us. It's about everybody else. Make sure you like our Freedom Train Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net, Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train on iTunes or Google Play Music. And then, of course, you know, subscribe to the Freedom Train on YouTube. That's what we do. So thank y'all for rocking with us. Pat.
What up?
Man, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. We had it's been a real good week. Three good shows in a row. This going to make number four. I've been surprised by the interaction that we've gotten. You know, that's kind of been exciting to see, yeah. You know, people actually coming to the page, people dropping lines, sending messages. We got some comments we weren't expecting to get. So it's been an exciting month. You know, I can't wait to keep moving forward, pushing forward. By the way, go to the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Right on the homepage, you'll see us right there. You'll also have an opportunity to interact with us in the chat box underneath. And we're going to try to have it set up where if people get to asking some serious questions, we can have some people in there that can actually help them with answers. So definitely go check that out.
Yes, yes, yes. Share this. Tell everybody you know to share this. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, share this. Come check us out as we talk about mental health within the Black community. Thank you. First of all, let's say thank you to our guest. First we had Miss Eustacia Trey with Dixie, who came through and gave us some great information about mental health from her vantage point. Then we had Professor Carlton Jones, who gave us some information, and then we had Miss Evandra Catherine, who gave us information. And both Eustacia and Professor Carlton Jones actually work within the mental health field to help people heal. And Evandra has gone through her bouts and is still going through her bouts. And they all three of them, to me, they hit two main things that they hit on. But anxiety, depression, and that still stemming from post-traumatic slave syndrome. So I think that's where we should probably start with this one, talking about the number of Black people who actually experience anxiety and depression and go undiagnosed. I know, Pat, you said you've experienced some depression at some point. If you don't mind elaborating on that.
Yeah, so after I got out of the military, I went, and really for I think the last few years I was in the military, I experienced situations and things that kind of had me feeling negative about myself and negative about what I was doing. And those feelings, like, they just didn't go away. They just kept getting stronger. They kept getting worse. They kept, you know, and it lasted for, you know, obviously for me, this was a period of years until it got to the point where me personally, like, I just went neutral to everything. Like, so it wasn't so much that I was sad, but that I was just numb to everything. Like, I didn't feel anything about really anything, you know. So at that point, I was acting out what I felt was appropriate, the appropriate emotional response for whatever specific situation was going on, when really I felt nothing at all. And it wasn't until a couple years ago, where after I had been feeling like this for so long that I kind of just thought it was normal, that I was having a conversation with somebody, two people really. One of them was Professor Carl Tones Jones, and the other one was Miss Dixie, two people that we've had on the show. And after that was after those conversations, I went to go talk to somebody and found out that, you know, yes, I was having clinical depression, and this was a serious issue that needed to be taken care of. So from that point on, it was just a matter of acknowledging it and talking through it. I didn't get put on any medication like that. Not, you know, just because for me, I didn't feel like I needed it. I just really needed an outlet or opportunity to open up about some of the things that I was experiencing, some of the different experiences, traumatic experience I had been through over the past few years, some of the shortcomings and failures that I was beating myself up about, and various other different situations and circumstances that had occurred over the period of a few years that have just driven me into this state. So once I talked to somebody, and, you know, I had the support of my wife and several other people in my family, you know, things started to get better. And, you know, you get back to a place where, for me anyways, I was actually, you know, I remember getting excited at one point about actually feeling genuine happiness, you know, like I don't have to fake it anymore. Like, I'm really happy, you know, and it was such a foreign sensation that I wasn't sure what to do with it. And it's still, nowadays, I still run into situations where I'll feel an emotion that, you know, it, wow, I'm really feeling this right now. Like, I can't believe that, you know. So, but, you know, that was my situation. I just run into a lot of things in the military, a lot of racist situations, a lot of situations where things unfolded in ways that I didn't feel like they should have unfolded, situations that affected my self-confidence. One of the biggest situations was getting out and not being able to find work. You know, and that was huge when I got out. But even before I got out, there were a lot of instances where I felt like I was being negatively stereotyped, typecasted, and all these other situations in the military that was preventing me from moving forward and being what I wanted to be. So, yeah, it's a lot going on. I don't want to drown, you know, the lines with a long sob story, but it was a lot.
Nah, but I mean, that's why we are, you know, here to talk about this now. I myself have never gone through any of these situations, so I'm on the outside looking in, so I am looking to learn more. You know, looking more into mental health and how mental health affects us as I got in college, with psychology being my major, but never any of the bouts or any of the treatments on my myself. Listening to others who have, it makes you, okay, it makes you look at yourself and reevaluate yourself, and then saying, well, maybe I do need to go and have myself analyzed just to see different things, and trying to pay closer attention to the reason why I do certain things and how I cope with certain things like that. Because I think a lot of us in our communities, we fall into these patterns of unhealthy coping because we have no idea what we're dealing with and everybody else is doing as well. And these are things that are available and lack of knowledge and all these things. So it's just, I'm just trying to be able to use this time to learn as much as I can to be the best advocate as I can, being that I've never gone through this and myself, but always willing to learn more, because I'm just saying we have to try to be as best of asset to our community as possible, and getting our mental health in order could really help us get to where we want to be as far as liberation and being able to overthrow white supremacy. But our mental health has to be in order.
Well, even just in terms of enjoying life and enjoying who you are as a person, like we said, we got a lot of these stigmatisms and whatnots going around about being strong enough to get through it. And I want to say, like, when I was going through my bout with depression, I had gotten really good at faking the funk, you know, and that's one thing that, you know, you get to a situation where you don't feel anything, but you're very good at pretending like you feel something. And you think about what type of life that would be, what type of life you would, you have to live when your emotions are turned off. And you think about, even in terms of connecting with other people in other situations, for me, that was the biggest threat of depression, is that you really lose the passion in your life, because you're no longer able to connect emotionally with situations or people. You know, you might be okay and you might be able to function in that environment, but when you remove passion from someone's life, you remove a large chunk of the productivity that they could bring to the table on a national stage, or local stage, or international stage, or global stage. You know, you really remove that person from whatever capacities they might have to change the world. And for me, that was always like the biggest thing. Like, you can't fake passion. You can't fake emotional connections. You can fake an emotional response. But if you're really truly having difficulty connecting with things on an emotional level, because you have emotionally shut down, how can you enjoy life that way? How can you enjoy your family? How can you enjoy your friends? How can you enjoy your work or your passions? Which is why that question, you know, do you no longer enjoy doing things that you used to enjoy? I remember when I was sitting in the office and they asked me that, you know, like, that was a powerful question, because some, you know, I had never thought about before. But now you're thinking about it and it's like, I used to enjoy this, and I used to enjoy this, and I used to enjoy that, and I used to enjoy going here, and I used to enjoy doing that and being here and having these conversations, and now I don't, you know, I don't really do any of that stuff anymore. So how can we liberate ourselves if we can't even be happy within our own communities, within our own spaces, within our own family units, if we're not even connected to our wives and our children, or our husbands and our children, our spouses and our children? Now, how can we be connected to a larger community and have the passion to want to see them do better? It's just not possible.
Well, see, that's why we have to, in my opinion, take mental health more serious, as far as not just dismissing people as crazy or something wrong with them, or I don't have to deal with that, so I don't need to think about it. Affects us all. All, like, if you're Black in America, your mental health is affected in some ways just dealing with the daily stress of being Black in America. So no matter how rich you are, how poor you are, you're still dealing with the stress of being a Black person in America and existing in the system of white supremacy. You still have to deal with that. That weighs on your psyche. That weighs on you as a person, your mental. Those of us who, like, within the communities I go in, you'll see, you'll down the street, and they're just cussing out everything, just yelling in the argument. With, you know, they have these things going on in their head, and we just dismiss them as that's so crazy, this and that. And that person may drink, may use some drugs, may or may not, but even if they do, that will enhance the issue that's going on, and it's these people, and we just dismiss people as a whole, and we make it hard for those who want to seek help and those who want to learn more to actually learn more. But I remember we had that one comment, somebody commented on the website, and it was saying that those around them made it difficult for them to actually seek help. And one, make it easier for our people to seek help, but also a tip to that person or others is you don't have to really tell people what's going on. Business, I mean, right? We know what the stigma is in the Black community. So do what you have to do for yourself. But on the other end as well, us being different about our approach when people do come to us, telling us who they are hoping will be a helping hand and dealing and helping them as they go through their journey on mental health, we can be better on both sides. But that person does need to seek help, and you don't have to tell people what you're doing.
No, you don't. You don't. It is not necessary to communicate that you're getting therapy. On the same breath, it shouldn't be something you're ashamed of or scared to admit that you're getting help. But in terms of just being more encouraging about the entire process, I think we as a community can definitely do a better job of encouraging people. Not so much like we're not expecting everybody to be a mental health specialist,
right? But even well, that's so not far what we're going to try to do.
Right. A matter of fact, we had two guests, both the professor and Stacey, strongly advertised, you know, strongly commented against it, and I'm in agreement with that.
Well, all three of them did, because you know when we're talking about people going to their pastors or their barbers or their aunts and whoever their favorite people are to help deal with their issues, it's like it's not recommended. Right. That person isn't trained.
Right, and we definitely need people that are trained and equipped to deal with the various different problems that we're going to bring to the table, that are going to be brought to our table. So, you know, like that's definitely something that's mandatory. That's definitely something that's needed. But at the same time, you know, as friends, you need to, if you truly care about your friends and your family, you'll be as well informed and educated about some of the mental health problems as you can be. And you'll understand that even in having all that information, if somebody comes to you, your job as a friend is to listen, you know what I'm saying? To be an ear, somebody that they can lean on, somebody that they can talk to and they can confide in. And as a friend anyways, you shouldn't be hyper judgmental or hypercritical of your friends to begin with. So they shouldn't even really be worried about, well, if I come talk to you, you my boy, but you're going to cuss me out and call me weak and tell me I'm stupid. Not that, like, if that's how your friends think of you, then you're not a very good friend. So your job at that juncture, in my opinion, is to listen. And in listening, that is being supportive. And then you could take that a step further. If you feel like they need more than just your ear to lean on, you recommend that they go get help. Well, maybe you need to see somebody.
Right.
You know, you don't have to go no further than that. Hey, man, well, I've been listening to you for a while now, and I don't know, maybe you need to go see somebody.
But that goes back to us paying more attention to our supposed friends. So people, if you see your friend is not in the best shape mentally, like they used to be, at least if you don't know what to say, at least be willing to listen. And then and always encourage them to seek professional help.
Right.
Don't try to self-diagnose them. Don't try to encourage them to do that. Always encourage them to seek professional help, because we want to see them get better and not just sink further into like depression and some other things because they tried something that didn't work. Because that we need more consistent recommendations for mental health. But also, like we talked about during some of the interviews, is being able to seek help of those who look like you. Now, I know last week Evangel was saying, you know, at some point, you know, just seek help, just seek help. But once you get like your bearings about yourselves, things get better. Going to the more culturally appropriate person who can help you kind of be able to make sense of your mental state within this standard white supremacy that we in, or at least make you feel like you're getting that.
Well, you know, that's the same thing that all of, I guess, said. You know, they all said, if you get to a point where you need help, just get help.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just getting help is most important. Once you get help, you can move on to, you can move on to being more specific about who you get help from. But in the initial stages, you just need to get help. And I think that component of it is where we need, where most of our people are, unfortunately, while we're training up a newer, larger generation of Black mental health specialists, we have a whole crop of Black people that are struggling with mental health problems. And while we would definitely love to see them get help from people that understood their situation as Black people in America, the same way they advertise for women to get help from other women that understand their situations as women in America and blah, blah, blah. You know, at this juncture, we just need you to get help. The longer you live with mental health issues, the more normalized mental health issues become, not just for you, but for your community, until we're looking at a situation where the entire community has become one that has simply embraced its mental dysfunction. And at that juncture, you're looking at a culture change in which now normal, rational, sane, emotional, mental behavior becomes diagnosable.
Even us paying attention to the history of misdiagnosis of mental health or overdiagnosis, underdiagnosis of mental health, just the dealings of Black people's mental health system, how the studies of psychology were first created with their racist undertones and all these things, or undertones, but just practices and all these things here, being able to understand that, but knowing where we are and what we're dealing with and the levels that it has and how it does weigh on us as far as when we're talking about white supremacy, that is important. Now, I know though there are steps that lead up to that, and the first one of the first things that's going to help us get to that is being able to better care for ourselves mentally, being able to better be better allies for ourselves within the mental health realm. It's something that we can no longer just be looking, just overlooking, just I'm sweeping under the rug. Well, I ain't crazy, so I ain't worried about it. Like, we can't just do stuff like that. And we keep doing the same thing over and over and over. It's not helping. More people are suffering from mental health issues. So we need to pay attention to that.
Most definitely. I mean, we've been harping on this literally all week long or all month long about the fact that we really just need to get help and we need to pay more attention to our mental health. We got a lot of people talking about, a lot of people are talking about getting physically in shape nowadays. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should all want to be in better shape physically. Definitely nothing wrong with that. But what's the point of having a perfect body and a broken mind? Like, in my opinion, we're doing things backwards. You know, if your mind is working well and you're emotionally balanced and your mental capacities are operating at full, you're going to be in a better position to leave your mark on the world, since so many of us want to do that. You're going to be in a better position to handle the things that life throws at you, because a lot of the problems we face are not physically, you know, they're not physical. They're not problems where we can fix them by bench pressing. They're problems where we need to work and think our way out of them. And so the world we live in is a very cerebral world. It's a very, very mentally oriented world in terms of getting ahead. We admire the physicality of life. But in terms of the journey of success and the journey of happiness, a lot of that is mentally driven. And so, you know, we're going through all these problems now where everybody's trying to fix their lives by getting in shape. And we need to shift the focus and just focus more on this mental health component. Go run your miles. True, that's great. Take a good job. But also have something in your day that strengthens you mentally, that balances you and centers you mentally as well. And that's the component that's missing, probably because half of us are crazy. Because we have unchecked mental health issues.
Even in that, just totally focusing on your body and being, and like some people are overly obsessed over their body. That's when you know something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at the point to where like your body is where you're getting your identity from. The issue. That's not something that's normal. Like you shouldn't like if you didn't have your six pack, you'll be devastated. You know, because now we're talking about either getting into low self-esteem or narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
So which one are we dealing with? But they both are unhealthy states of being. So you hit on a good point though when you're talking about that. Right. Because to really believe that you are the center of the universe, or to really believe that you don't exist, that's not healthy. It's just not. So I mean, it's just real, man. If we're gonna talk. So we talk about mental health, and because it doesn't have to be something drastic to where the person is diagnosed with schizophrenia and all these other things. It's like I said, when we really think about, all right, let's look at post-traumatic stress disorder. When somebody come back home from the war, people don't come back with the same things, the same affected the same way by things, right? So it's gonna be this, for some people it's this, and this. And being able to pay attention to the differences and has made people better aware of what's going on with post-traumatic stress disorder, especially when we're targeting those who come back from wars or from fighting in the military. When we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, when it deals with dealing with like 500 years of slavery, first of all, people act like that ain't even real. Like we should have just been got over it by now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but in other aspects of society, they can see, well, this is why society hasn't gotten over it. But when it comes to dealing with the lasting effects of slavery, racism, Jim Crow, redlining, and all this other bullshit that white people put us through, then it's, you guys should just be getting over it. And so we internalize that too. We think we got to be strong. That's where the strong black man, the strong black woman mentalities come from. And that strong black woman is a woman who can endure anything and they ain't gonna never break her down. That's bullshit. We shouldn't even be expecting our women to even go through that. We shouldn't even have the environment nowhere kind of conducive for that type of mindset to be something that's prevalent. Like, we should not want our women to be thinking that they have to deal with everything on their own and then really like putting themselves in that, I have to do this, I have to, no, you don't. You stressing yourself the hell out.
But that's
and we ain't getting that.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we're not getting that though.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm just saying we ain't getting that point though. Like, we shouldn't be expecting nobody in our society to carry the burdens of our society.
But that's where we run into our problems with self-image. The one thing that it seems we can agree on universally is strength. And how do you know, typically how we define strength within the community is the ability to endure. you know, people that endure are seen as stronger than people who don't. And in my opinion, enduring and being strong are two different qualities. A strong person might not have endurance, and a person that can endure might not necessarily be strong. But even to that, it should never be considered a positive thing to be able to endure alone. Like, it should never be considered an admirable attribute. I'm not saying there aren't some positive aspects to being able to endure alone, but I'm saying when we get to the point where we expect and we define your level of strength as a human being in terms of how much you can endure alone, especially to the point where when you ask for help, now we consider you weak. We've just crossed a line where that enduring, that strong, that strength attribute now becomes a liability to the larger community, because now we want everybody to be strong, and that means we don't want anybody to ask for help. And if you do ask for help, you're weak, and we don't want.
Yeah, but even in the whole mindset of we should be able to endure, enduring is what we do. That's from a oppressed mindset, though. That's from the mindset of people who are fighting behind enemy lines. Like, because you can only endure so much. Like, you could take an elephant, which is one of the strongest land animals. You keep loading that goddamn elephant up, eventually it's gonna buckle.
Right.
And so, and like, how much are we really expecting our people to endure? Like, it shouldn't be, okay, well, we can endure, so we're gonna endure. It should be, well, we know we have the ability to endure, but it's more about liberation. It's more about getting free, getting away from under this pressure, so we don't have to endure this bullshit. Because we don't, no other people embraces enduring pressure and pain like Black folk. And I understand it's part of our story, but damn, that should be what we highlight. Let's highlight the victories we've had. How about let's do that? Because that could weigh different on our psyche. Because we come into this world stressed the fuck out, thinking that's what we got to be.
Well, that's why I put the emphasis on strength. In my opinion, the strength in our community is not in our ability to endure oppression and hardship. Not saying that enduring isn't a positive attribute, especially when you're going through something. But strength is displayed in being able to move systems and move personnel and move things in a direction that's positive for our community. That, to me, that is strength, the ability to move things, not the ability to endure. So when we talk about strength, I just think we need to separate the concept of strength from the concept of endurance. There are a lot of people that endured a whole lot, but they never moved anything. And consequently, they haven't really done anything worthwhile for us as a people.
Jackie Robinson.
Just like, there are people who have moved a lot of things, but not, you know, they didn't necessarily have to endure much because of the situations in the environments that they were in. They were in environments that were conducive to growth and maturation, where they were never in a system where they had to deal with extreme amounts of oppression or brutality. Not saying they didn't have to deal with any, but they didn't have to deal with what we would classify as extreme amounts. So you wouldn't necessarily say this person had the endurance of, say, like you said, a Jackie Robinson, who endured extraordinarily high amounts of
unwanted, unnecessary stress and pressure. Unnecessary. Yes, I said it. Unnecessary.
You dealt with an extraordinarily high amount of stress and pressure. He endured more than a lot of Black people had to endure. But, you know, in terms of moving, we could go down the list in terms of Black people that moved a whole lot of things, but endured nowhere near the level of stress that he endured. But those people are the people that we would identify as strong. He is a person that we would identify as having endurance. And so we need to get to the point where, as a community, we're saying, look, Black women, we do love the fact that you can endure. We do love that. But there's nothing wrong with asking for help. But that's a mentality thing that we got to get into as well. That goes back to mental health. That goes back to normalizing dysfunctional behavior. that goes back to all of the other things we were talking about earlier.
But even in saying that, you made me think about something. Us men being more cognizant of our mental health, because there's a component that puts our black women in a situation where they feel like they have to be the superwoman, because they either already come to the situation thinking the man won't be there for long, or it ends up where the man is not there for long. And I see a lot of times the effects that it has on these men, whether the man created the effect or not, a lot of times it demoralizes the man and it weighs on the self-esteem. And so a lot of these guys are not the same. Like, they always talked about the emasculation of the male, but that does happen sometimes. Now, sometimes the man put himself in the position to do that, but then oftentimes you have women who come in too. Like, I met this girl, she was 11 years old, and already in her mind she had it pregnant that men are dogs. So she's already expecting stuff to go wrong at 11 years old. That's not a healthy mental state to go into a relationship as you get older. You know, because your mom said, your auntie said, but at the same time, being able to check at the root, was some of that warranted, or was that already preconceived notions coming into the relationships?
Well, we talk again about that strength and endurance dynamic. I mean, we'll say this: for every male that we claim is being effeminized, there is a female being masculinized.
Yeah.
You know, and let's talk about both sides of the coin, because effeminate female will not effeminize a man. And I know that those terms might be a little bit strange, whatever, but you get my point. A woman that is comfortable in her womanhood and understands and blah, 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 all those other words that people like to use, is not looking for a man that she can make effeminate. Is not looking for a man that she can turn basically into her bitch.
Right.
You know, so that if you're dating a woman that you feel like is, if you know, trying to effeminize you, then maybe that's a woman that has been masculinized by the time she live in. And then you have to look at that whole masculinization process the same way we look at the effeminization process. But you look at the, in terms of the relationships we have with one another, even walking into the perspective of, you think about what this does to a lot of men's psyche when you're talking to a girl or a woman, and one of the early things she says to you is, you know, you get a pass for one free go. Like, where is your self-esteem at?
Yeah. But see, the thing about it is, okay, you get a free pass because as a man, I know you're going to already do that. And it's like, but that's already stress and drama that you're coming into the relationship with that you shouldn't have to come into. That's already messing up your psyche, your awareness, your mental health is already being pecked at now when you come into it with that, hey, well, I know you're a man and men can't keep their thing in their pants. So, and then on the other end, men trying to live up to that.
Right.
Because we feel inadequate if we don't have the notches up under our belt. So you got these two immovable forces meeting, and then bam, the relationships and stuff not working out. And you got issues and everything that's going on, and then it could turn worse. If you introduce children and you have another generation of people who's exposed to stress and unhealthy situations that lays on their mental health, it's not good.
And all of that has to do with mental health. Because if you're emotionally stable, if you're mentally taken care of, you have a positive self-image. You have positive self-esteem, and you have a proper ego. You know, your ego is serving its purpose. You don't have a bunch of things running rampant. And right now, you know, we say all the time, right now we have a low self-esteem epidemic in the community. And a lot of people are real good with hiding that behind these massive egos, you know, where their egos become shields for their low self-esteem. So they hold their ego up as a buffer. I don't have low self-esteem. You know what I'm saying? I'm the shit. Okay, well, you know, like, so what's your point? What does that have to do with your self-view? We can tell you have low self-esteem by the way you allow yourself to be treated. You know, we could tell your sense of ego is overinflated by the way you treat others and by the things you say. Two separate right. components of your psyche. So, you know, we got issues in this mental health area, and a lot of it isn't being broken down because a lot of people think if I'm not depressed or schizophrenic or a sociopath or a psychopath or having these major diagnosable problems that I don't need to go and seek mental, you know, I don't need to go and get help. The truth is, you might not have a diagnosable problem, but that doesn't mean that, you know, your shit ain't out of whack.
I mean, we could all stand to check ourselves, evaluate ourselves, see where we are. Because like I say, I mean, you can't constantly be under stress. It's supposed to be cool with you mentally. Like you can't. It's going to affect you somehow, some way. Like I say, you can endure all you want, but after a while, you're going to give out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when it's giving out means a real problem has occurred. So there, that something is going wrong. Now it's wrong now. And now, it's not like it's too late, but it's something that could have been treated better now. And that's where we are. And so
right.
It just, to me, black people, man, with our mental health, like I said, I was in the hood here in my city the other day, and just looking at the kids and just talking to them, having conversations about the things they're into, stuff that they're doing, interacting with your parents. Like if your mama been calling you a stupid motherfucker since the time you was 1 year old, and you 10 now,
you got issues.
And you wondering why your kid not doing good in school. I mean, there you go. Like you said, it's not like schizophrenia or bipolar, but you think you a stupid motherfucker because your mama done told you that since you was a day old. That weighs on you.
Yeah. I think that's one of our biggest challenges in trying to raise awareness for mental health is trying to get people to understand that just because you don't have a diagnosable problem doesn't mean that you don't have a problem. You know, we got to understand it. By the time you get to the point that you're diagnosable, you might be pretty far gone. But there's a whole realm, a whole range in there. You know, that's one thing we got to remember. Normal is a range. It's not one set point. So with normal being a range, it's possible that you could be on the far edge in either, you know, in either area, waiting to teeter over. You want to get yourself checked out before you get too far gone. You know, it's just like cancer or any other illness or disease. You want to take care of it early before it gets to be a problem. Your mind is similar because your mind is harder to fix than your body.
Yeah. 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 It's a process. I mean, because it was a process to have something going on, unless you have some kind of genetic disorder, you were born with that disorder, things like that. But we're talking about something, things that are environmental, especially if we're focusing basically on environmental issues. It took time for that to build up, for it to be fixed. I mean, just like conditioning.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, we definitely don't want to beat a dead horse, but we definitely got to do a better job of taking care of our mental health. You know, I don't know how else to say it or what other ways we have to say it.
I will say this. Make sure you're using your local resource guides to look for mental health services within your community.
True.
Make sure you are doing that. There are some national hotlines that you can go to, recognize your local resource guide for more information about mental health services within your area. So you can actually that you need. Please do that.
Most definitely, most definitely. What else we got, Joe?
Man, look at here. So basically this will be our last show that'll wrap up our month of mental health awareness. But we still got a couple more PSAs to drop. So we got about two more, right?
Yeah.
We got two more PSAs to drop. So y'all look out for that on our website, freedomtrainradio.com, as well as our Facebook page and our Instagram channel, our Instagram page. So we're definitely gonna have the information out there, our PSAs. We're finna do some shameless plugs, so we don't care.
Caleb PSA is already, it's been up on the website for a while now, so.
It is?
Yeah, actually.
I didn't even see that.
So, the website. You should have, you know, I know you've been peeped at. What's up?
Yeah, all right. So, okay. Oh, you on the website? Yeah, man. I was on the web. I had to go double check for myself because I was like, "Am I tripping?" Yeah, I was.
You gotta be tripping because it's been up since Thursday or Friday last week.
Okay, well, don't let it go to your head now. So there it is. It is. Hey, we're right around the corner. So September 4th. I'm releasing my second book, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 2, Central America. I got these new cool On the Shoulders of Giants shirts now. Yeah. So we got shirts for sale. Shirts are $15. You can get your small, medium, large, extra large. Get your sizes. Got colors. Got red, black, green, and white available for you. Go to my website for my book, which is www.onthesoulders.org. That's www.ontheshoulders.org. So you can get a copy of my new book, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 2, Central America. If you don't have the first volume, get the first volume, then get the second volume, so you'll be in the mix. And you, too, can help prevent forest fires.
I was about to say, you, too, can be a planeteer.
I mean, what else we got coming down the pipe, man, since we own our network and we can do our plugs on our network?
I mean, you know, we still got Real Talk with Jaleel. That show is coming down the pipe. So we got some new shows coming down the pipe. We got a couple of shows that are in development. So, you know, we got things coming, and just because Mental Health Awareness Month has ended doesn't mean we won't still be hitting people over the head with the various PSAs that have been created at various times and a whole lot of other things.
And we got
over the coming months, I'm going to go ahead and put this out. Never mind. No, I'm not, because I don't want nobody to steal the idea just yet. Go ahead, Joe.
Then we got some good interviews coming up for the month of September. So we're gonna learn a lot. We're gonna be talking about autism. We're gonna have Mr. Christopher Everett on, who put together the film Wilmington on Fire. We're gonna have him on. We're gonna learn, you know, get into some financial literacy, learn how to get our credit straight, learn about buying houses and stuff, learn about getting our money together. Getting into black comics, black comic books, black people who are putting together comic books, because you know, once black people get into it, we take over the world. So, man, we got some stuff coming up for the Freedom Train Network, and like Pat said, we have new shows coming up. So the network is expanding. So be on the lookout for more the videos that we have here on our Freedom Train Network channel. It won't just be Pat and I, it won't just be the Freedom Train podcast, but it'll be the other shows as well as on our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. You can learn a lot more about what we got going on. I'm about to jump back in the gym too, about to get my chest back together. Ah. So it's going down. You know what I'm saying? So hey man. It's going down. It's going down. We got a the Professor Carlton Jones. Check out. Make sure you check him out. Go to his website, www.wauwhataboutus.com. That way you can learn more about the Freedom Train. The Independence Day. Yeah, the Independence Day Project, his film, his documentary that he has coming out very, very, very soon. He has clips out. If you go to Carlton Jones YouTube channel, the trailers and the clips, and you can learn more about that. Shout out to Professor Carlton Jones. Shout out to Samora Swagger, Dr. Samora Swagger. He always showing his love, helping out with our show. Thank you to Keith Turner, Shakara Jenkins, the great Griot Carpool, brother IJ Tayemba, Andrea Jeffcoat, thank you. Everybody who just been supporting the Freedom Train, all our guests that we've had on this show, it's been going down, Pat.
Yeah.
2017 been a great year for the Freedom Train, and 2018 gonna be better than 2017, because you know, we like we say, we're expanding, and so we just appreciate everything that we're doing. Black power, people. We black love is in the building. You know what I'm saying?
We the best.
Hey man, you know, we accurate.
Yeah. And we drive Acuras.
Well, there you go. And remember, visit PAX Inc. website, www.pscinc.org. That way you can learn more about our title sponsor, PAX Inc. Once again, my new book comes out September 4th on the Shows of Giants, Volume 2, Central America. It's going to be available on my website, www.ontheshoulders.org, as well as Kindle version is available on Amazon, and the audio book will be available on Audible. So bam, all them different formats. You'll be in there. What else? Is there anything else we're missing?
I don't think so. I think you got it.
Well, shoot.
Oh, we got a thank you for the three people, four people, five people. Thank you for all of the people that commented during the campaign on that homepage. Thank you Professor Carlton Jones and Eustacia coming through and dropping advice. Stacy in particular has been helping out just about everybody that has commented, providing some advice and offering her contact information. So thank you for her for doing that. And thank you for everybody that's definitely dropped the line. I was going to count them all, but I realized that would not be a good idea. So thank you.
Hey man, and you know, let's take our, and straight up though, let's take our health serious though. Let's do better in healing ourselves. Let's stop shooting stuff under the rug. Like, we have to endure pain, and we have to put ourselves in bad positions. Our mind will help us elevate our position in this world. We understand our reality, but we also understand a lot of stuff starts in the mind. So us changing our mindset, but also creating environments to help those who, well, it's a little harder for some people to put themselves in that positive mindset or that healthy mind state. So us being understanding of our people, because if it's about true liberation, it's about making sure our people are healthy mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, being healthy families, all these things here. So let's truly love our people holistically and be true allies to our black people within our black community. Being said, black fist in the air. Peace.